T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Taylor Davis.
Something that's gone by the wayside with all of the information is the ability to try and read swings. You see these veterans that come around, and, you know, we have a lot on this team that I get to talk to about the ability to read swings. And we have all this new information with all these analytics, which is fantastic. It's unbelievable, and it's great information to use. I definitely believe that knowledge is power. But I think because of the knowledge, some people have taken a step away from doing that during the game. So I really try to take that during the game and follow these guys' swings. Me and Cole Hamels joke that we try to make it a chess match because I believe that I'm better at chess than you are. And so I'm going to have the better piece and the better move next time and the next pitch than you will. So if we can get to that point, I believe that we can dominate.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Joe Sheehan will join us at 10, the midday, midway at 11. Our guy Chris Herring, senior NBA writer for 538, is going to talk NBA with us at 11. And we've got $1,000 cash that could be yours if you make sure you are listening for the cue to text today. 312-644-6767. That's the number, WSCR, The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. Go there to listen to us live where we stream at 670thescore.com. You want to text 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein underscore MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Pablo Sandoval is the hero we deserve.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was even the weirdest thing of the day.
When you download it, you can stream The Score in your mobile devices. Interact with the show on the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You want to watch us? Hey, hello. Hi, hey, hello. How's it going? Hi, these cameras. This is the video feed directed by Brian Gerch at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. The producers today, who do I see over there? That looks like Shane Reardon and Rick Camp and the executioner Ray Diaz in the back doing what he does. So a little hiccup for the Cubs last night, but it did serve to identify something critical.
It's a reminder what it is.
And what's happened is we've had a confluence of circumstances here. The Cubs got good.
They did.
And they matter in a way where it's like, oh, okay, they're the Cubs again. We've reset what we're thinking about this team and about October baseball.
An offense that rolls, a defense that's solid, and a pitching staff that, despite a whole lot of walks, has gotten itself together to be much better than serviceable.
Okay, but when we talk to Joe Maddon in the past, what does he always say he wakes up thinking about?
Plan from the back of the game to the front. Set those last three or five or even six outs and know who's going to get those for you. Then plan the rest of the game.
Now, we also know the idea of a closer maybe a kind of an antiquated one. The teams have enough high leverage arms, and you look at matchups, and sometimes that guy's got to come in with two outs in the fifth.
But therein lies the rub. Enough high leverage arms.
Okay.
Do you have a critical mass? Do you have enough high leverage arms that you can look at convention, this idea of a closer, the guy that locks down your last three outs, as good as Pedro Strop has been over his Cubs career, never had an ERA over 2.91 in his Cubs career, still.
He's an all-time great Cub.
Ooh. An all-time great Cub. I mean, consistency is his middle name.
Look at his numbers. Pedro Strop has very quietly become an all-time great Cub. The stuff he's been asked to do.
I mean, everybody on the 16 World Series champion should never pay for another drink
just
in this town, ever.
If you really think about it.
You don't have to preach Pedro Strop love to me, my friend. I am full of Pedro Strop love.
He's such a doll of a guy, too.
He's really a wonderful human being.
But here's the other aspect, too, is that the Cubs are a little old-fashioned. They're a little old-fashioned in how they constructed this starting staff.
Mm-hmm.
Theo Epstein likes traditional closers. Since this has been going on, since this has mattered, we've had Hector Rondon.
Yep.
Aroldis Chapman.
Trade.
Wade Davis.
Another trade.
Brandon Morrow.
Yep. Big name signing.
Right? And he was told when they got him, you are the closer. They use that term. They think about it in these old-fashioned terms.
Look back to his days in Boston, too. They went out and got Keith Foulke to put together that 04 championship, and then they groomed Jonathan Papelbon for that role. I mean, they set him to be a reliever. It almost feels like they took him out of the whole starting pitching prospect thing early on to find that guy they could push into the major leagues to be a closer. Different era of baseball, still matters.
They got to find those outs. They got to find four outs. You say build the bullpen back to front. So it's a dramatic end of game specialist. What does that remind you of?
Somebody at the end of a ball game who might do a somewhat different job than everybody else who got the game to a particular point. You're saying?
You got to have one. You got to have one you can trust. You got, no matter what you've done the rest of the game, it can be up to that guy to make you or break you.
Well,
what does that remind you of?
It kind of reminds me a little bit of the circus we saw at Bears rookie camp.
A kicker?
Yeah.
A closer?
Yeah.
End of game specialists who are trained to do something. Some believe, well, there's only a certain kind of guy that's capable of doing this. Others say, yeah, you know, sometimes a guy can and sometimes a guy can't. That's not necessarily true. Also, high degrees of variance, where some years a guy who does it is fantastic at it, locked down, and other years, just not.
I am with you that the Cubs need four more outs out of that bullpen. I've been saying it for a little while. And whether that's Dylan Maples after he pitches a little bit longer at AAA and maybe he harnesses a fastball just a little bit, whether that's Carl Edwards Jr., who looked, I thought, pretty decent last night, although that strike zone was kind of all over the place for everybody. I think they need another three, four, maybe even five outs. And I want those outs to be of the strikeout variety. I understand, and you know, we're going to hear a ton from Joe today. Joe Madden's on at noon with Lawrence Holmes. You're going to hear from Theo Epstein Thursday at 8 a.m. with Molly and Haw. I mean, the conversation is going to center, I think, this week around the fact that despite you've got a whole lot of walks on this Cubs pitching staff from John Lester all the way down to the last bullpen guy, whoever they're shuffling through, there are too many walks. In order to combat that, I think, in this day and age, you've got to fight walks with strikeouts. So you need four or five more outs of the strikeout variety coming from that bullpen. You just do.
This segment's brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. This weekend, they're off and running with live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Friday, leave work early for Friday racing. First race, 3:15. Stay the favorite child and treat mom to a day at the races Sunday. Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. We will hear from Joe Madden in just a second. A little bit on what's going on with his bullpen. A little bit with you.
Yeah, they might have found an out or two of the strikeout variety in making a small roster move, and Joe's got thoughts on Carl Edwards Jr.
They saw how he reacted at different moments. As he walked in the door, I'm just saying, I just felt a different presence. I just thought he's ready to go. He seems very focused. And I'm really curious to watch this whole thing.
Joe Madden talking about Carl Edwards Jr. was returned to the 25-man roster yesterday. I thought Carl looked pretty okay pitching against the Marlins. You saw the heater work. You saw the breaking ball go. We got squeezed a little bit by a strike zone that was squeezing and pushing and moving people all night long. But you and I both, Dan, and this is the Bernstein and McKnight show here on 670 The Score, you and I both have seen, and I think a lot of Cubs fans have seen, the need for an extra bullpen arm. And you
I don't consider
remember,
it extra, by the way. I would object to
one more,
because I can't get enough of bullpen arms
sure.
I can trust. There's,
you just got to have a whole extra bunch of them. That makes sense to me. I'll buy that. But you got to remember the struggles in a couple of texts coming in here, 67011, saying that Kimbrel won't help this team. That's what 90% of fans and the media said. That's false. Give me Kimbrel. You got to remember that the context in which we were all of us looking at Craig Kimbrel out there on the free agent marketplace and that 2-7 start, or the 3-8 start, or the 1-6 start. Adding Craig Kimbrel to that wouldn't have fixed the fact that everyone was walking everyone. Sure, you've got a little extra there. That wouldn't have fixed their problem in that moment. Over the long haul, that's the bet on Kimbrel. That's the bet on really any arm. You add to the bullpen 4 strikeouts. It's that over the long term, you've got 3, maybe even 4 extra outs per night, or even 3 nights out of 5 covered by some dudes who can strike guys out.
Matt from the 309 texts, Theo said in April that it was October. Early games mean a lot. Doesn't Theo then have to get that closer? You had the W last night. It was the closer that couldn't close. Well, here's our urgency point again.
Yeah, but if you're going to measure his comments, you've also got to think about what he's said to us and what he said to Mack and Parkins and what he said to Molly and Haw, that the solutions might have to come from within this year. I mean, he's stressed that the arms that they've brought in, you look at guys like Alan Webster, for instance, or even Brad Brock, who was brought in as a free agent. These are the guys that they hoped they could bring up. Kyle Ryan, too, bring up at points probably when it's a little warmer, probably when it's months that start with J and not now, that you could add into this bullpen to relieve some of the pressure. Instead, what happened during that 2-7 thing is Carl Edwards had to go down. The walks were outrageous. And you had to push those guys who probably could have used just a little bit longer in the minor leagues to get themselves figured. Those guys could have come up to relieve pressure. Instead, they had to be solutions right away. And I don't think that was the best laid plan of the Cubs front office when it comes to fixing the bullpen from within this year.
Shane Reardon has just put a poll up at Bernstein_MCK.
Polls in the field.
On Twitter. The question, if you add Craig Kimbrel, are the Cubs fixed? One answer is yes. The other answer is no. Find it within.
As much as you should, as a baseball fan, kind of yell and scream about guys like Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrel not being signed and not having jobs right now. It's a labor market issue, and we dealt with that all offseason. I can understand whatever ball club it is looking at Kimbrel and thinking, so Craig, the walk rate tripled from 17 to 18. What's up there? The velocity's down just a little bit. Those will be questions asked, regardless of whatever team signs Craig Kimbrel after Major League Baseball's draft, which is when it's going to happen, by the way, because that is when you don't have to pay draft compensation for signing a free agent. That's when Kimbrel and likely Keuchel will both sign. It'll be after the MLB draft.
This segment brought to you by Arlington Park. This weekend, they're off and running. Live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Friday, leave work early for Friday racing. First race, 3:15. Stay the favorite child and treat mom to a day at the races Sunday. Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. 312-644-6767 is our number. Bernstein and McKnight. Joe Sheehan is going to join us at the top of the hour in his subscription newsletter. He wrote a lot about the Cubs and took a deep look at them, about what the series against St. Louis meant, the significance of the sweep, and a really dumb move in his estimation by Mike Shildt that
cost the Cardinals.
And he broke it down. He's going to do that at 10 o'clock. It's Joe Day on the Score. Tuesdays are Joe Day.
That's right.
You get Joe Sheehan with his baseball analysis at 10. You get Joe Madden with his baseball analysis with Lawrence at noon.
When we come back, there are a number of things that made last night's ball game very, very strange. And it wasn't just Kyle Ryan looking at home plate with a runner stranded.
Hell? What are you doing?
Frozen in between third and home.
Tag him. He's standing there.
He's 6'5". I think he probably just could have reached out and tagged the dude. There's your thout. And then the Chris Bryant homer in the ninth ties the ball game instead of bringing you to within one. No, that wasn't even the weirdest thing. Plus, a little bit later on in the show, we had an all-time weird baseball day in the Midwest. It wasn't here, but it was elsewhere. And it fits. I mean, it is this show's story. It's Dan Bernstein's story as much as Bernstein story has ever been.
I'm holding it close to my heart as we speak. We're going to do it after the midday midway because it needs some room.
All right. So how weird was last night's game? How rare was it for the Cubs to lose it that way? You'll find out when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
And now the 1-2 pitch from Ryan. Prado hits a bouncer back to the mound. Ryan will get the man in a rundown. No, he throws to first as a run scores. The throw to third in time there, but a run scores on the play.
I knew the whole situation. I just froze. Checked him, seen him. ran through my mind and froze.
Well, unfreeze.
Oh, that sucks.
You're too freezy. Stop doing that.
I had a...
He stopped running.
Had kind of like a Mitch Trubisky moment or a Mitch Trubisky still shot. You remember those from the middle of the season?
Yeah, the one where you're throwing against your body into triple coverage.
It's like as you're letting it go, you're throwing the interception to the right side of the end zone, but there's Trey Burton just kind of like... open, and he hasn't frozen up yet at that point of the season. Trey's fine.
His body hasn't locked up because of perceived threats.
No, he was ambulatory and moving and catching footballs at the time, so he was good. He wasn't frozen like Kyle Ryan. Jordan Bastion, who we had on the show yesterday, he's the MLB.com Cubs beat reporter. He tweeted out the still shot, and just in the middle between third and home, the runner is frozen and Kyle Ryan is also frozen and doesn't know where to go with the baseball.
That was only part of the weird, though.
Yeah, it was. It was a bizarre ball game, and I think it's one that you can file away as weird baseball loss pretty easily. You know, sure, it sucks that Pedro Strop walked a whole bunch of dudes, and it's awful that you grounded into a bunch of double plays. But I mean, the double play that Starlin Castro turned, that ball was whacked. I mean, that was... exit velocity plus 100. That's some serious stuff. So I think you can kind of take some solace in having some barrels. But the Marlins walked 10 hitters last night. Our guy Scott Lindholm, Scott Davenport, tweeted this out. In the last 300 games in which a team has walked 10 or more, that team, the team that's walked 10 or more, goes 59 and 241.
Wow.
That is a 197 winning percentage. The Marlins absolutely should have lost that game. Furthermore...
Well, they should lose every game because they suck.
They are just off. Although, I will tell you, I saw one Marlins reliever that I wouldn't mind having on the Chicago Cubs.
Go on.
I'll get to you in just a second here. Pedro Strop walked three hitters, just for Jordan Bastion. He's the first time in 517 career games that Strop walked three without recording an out. It is only his third career three-walk appearance.
Wow.
Pedro Strop is very good. Pedro, like you said, Pedro Strop could be considered as a career like all-timer for the Cubs. He's just that kind of guy. He's had that kind of success. Plus, he's a big part of a World Series champion. And part of one of the greatest trades in probably Cubs history, giving away nothing, Scott Feldman and a pretty racist catcher for Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop. It's one of the best trades the Cubs have ever made.
Wait, was it Steve Clevenger?
Yeah,
it's Steve. Why did you call him pretty racist catcher?
Because he's pretty racist.
Oh, okay.
You see his Twitter? I mean, he got suspended from baseball for being too racist.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah. Is somewhat
You're too
difficult.
Racist even for baseball.
Steve.
We didn't even allow black people to play for a long time.
Sit it down, buddy. Yeah. That is too much. You got to stop that. If we're going to go ahead and rant and rave about trying to find four or five more strikeouts out of the Cubs bullpen, bringing back a healthy and under control and mindful Carl Edwards Jr. is a big piece of this.
Do you trust him?
Not yet.
Okay. I don't either.
Not yet. No. But that was a decent outing last night, and the stuff is absolutely stuff that you should work to get right in your own bullpen. You send Dylan Maples down, and a couple of texters had brought this up. Oh, you want a whole bunch of strikeouts, and yet you sent the guy with the best stuff in the organization down to the minor leagues in exchange for Carl Edwards. I kind of get that, too, because if you look at the way Joe's going to have to use Dylan Maples in the context of the bullpen they've got now— It can't be high leverage. His walks are just too many. Brad Brock's walking like 10 per... You know what I mean? You've got too many dudes that just get a little weird, get a little walky right in the middle of things. You can't do that. So he's got to go down, pitch a little more, improve some more things. That said, I kind of liked Nick Anderson last night of the Marlins. Threw one inning, gave up one hit, walked one, didn't get a strikeout last night. But if you sort by Ks per nine, he's... up there, fourth in baseball right now.
Hmm.
And the Marlins have given up the booty for a whole bunch of solid quality pitchers. Domingo Germán of the Yankees. Chris Paddock was traded straight up for Fernando Rodney like a year ago, 2 years ago. Luis Castillo was a Marlins guy for a little while. They are more than willing to hand over prized possessions for very little. I wonder what it would take to get Nick Anderson away and see if he's a guy that your kind of tracks and your every all sorts of cameras could get kind of squared away and help you get a couple more of the strikeouts.
Yeah, this is why you, pitching guru, need to be scouting some of these names, because I think what's happening is that Kimbrel is representing some idealized other. He is the idea of a guy who was at one point a great closer. I mean, look, the Cubs tried to get Joe Nathan when he was 50 years old and see what he had. Because once you got a track record, they think they're going to come in and give you a shot. But the answer, if it's outside the organization, might be in somebody you never heard of who's toiling away throwing 97 for some team that doesn't matter.
Find the Adam Ottavino who hasn't had his profile done on The Athletic yet.
Correct.
You know, it's that kind of dude.
And here's the other thing, too, that in larger context, the Dodgers may beat you to it.
Man, so the only thing going for you right now, if you're thinking about the trade war that might happen, that is going to happen, that happens every year with relievers, Kenley Jansen does not look good. That fastball, that cutter, you know, the one that was drawing Mariano Rivera comps for the bulk of his career, it doesn't cut a whole lot, and it ain't that fast anymore. And he's getting dinged around a little bit. Albert Almora got him on just a center cut piece. That ball was tattooed. He gave up the grand slam just the other day. Kenley Jansen is striking out 12.5 per nine, but the hard hit rates are up, the power is up. That's a little bit of a problem. So if the Dodgers are out shopping, they've got ammunition. They've got an ability to go get some pieces there if they want to trade for big names and big strikeouts. There's always a benefit. We'll talk to Joe Sheehan about this in just a couple of minutes. But there's always a benefit, I think, in trying to strike early. Now, this may be far too early, like today.
It's really early.
Far too early to make the move that you'd like to make, whether it's Nick Anderson or someone else.
But urgency.
But urgency is urgency. So trying to make that move and finding that guy is got to be something you put the Cubs on alert for. You got to expect them to be shopping for something like that.
I'm loving the text reaction to the tone of Pat Hughes's voice in that highlight that we played.
Okay.
It's not often that he is openly critical of a Cub. But if you have listened to Pat Hughes long enough, you can hear it in the way he says the word no, that he is pretty much impugning the decision-making of a Cub.
And now the 1-2 pitch from Ryan. Brotto hits a bouncer back to the mound. Ryan will get the man in a rundown. No, he throws to first as a run scores.
No.
The throw to third in time there, but a run scores on the play.
Oh, it's like he's talking to a toddler.
That's the wrong decision.
No.
That's
as disappointed and plaintive a no as you're going to hear from Pat Hughes. That is his way of saying, you're an idiot. I'm translating. That is in his avuncular way, that is Pat Hughes calling that poor man an idiot.
You would be the Pat Hughes anger translator.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Key and Peele bit, right?
Yeah. No.
Oh, buddy.
Don't do that.
Oh,
come on, man.
That is just terrible.
Jeez.
One other thing that you might want to look out for from the Cubs as they get things back together in their rotation and bullpen, Mike Montgomery has thrown a good number of innings down at AAA. I think he's gone at least four every game he's thrown. I shouldn't say AAA. His rehab starts have been spread out over a couple levels, just for reference sake. But I wonder if they'd be interested in going to something a little bit like a six-man for a time or two, skipping a guy here or there. I mean, you saw how John Lester kind of bounced back. You saw Kyle Hendricks and how he pitched with the extra day they were able to mix in there. I don't know. Maybe you even want to go.
You think it's a function of the extra rest?
Possibly. Could be. I mean, we know John Lester's better with an extra day. That's kind of been the case for him, I want to say, since 17.
I never have a problem with adding a little more breadcrumbs to the meatloaf, as it were. Extend it a little bit.
Yeah, and maybe you just use him. Maybe he's not opener. Maybe he's not what the Rays have done in the past with like throwing the one inning and then handing it over to your traditional starter. But maybe he's, I don't know, piggyback type stuff or some sort of hybrid one way or the other. And I'm not saying for the rest of the season, just a turn or two through the rotation. You've got versatility, at least. Too many walks from a lot of your pitching right now. But some versatility in Chatwood and Montgomery, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they use it.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are Bernstein and McKnight. We are on Monday through Friday from 9 to noon here on your home for Cubs baseball. And every Tuesday at 10 o'clock, baseball analyst Joe Sheehan joins us. Might want to revisit some of the comments that he made about Kyle Hendricks last week when we were panicking about him. But he did a deep dive into the Cubs and into some things that happened in the Cardinals series. And he's going to point out a critical mistake that Mike Shildt made that helped cost them the game and kept them from winning their winnable game in that series. A deep baseball breakdown comes your way next on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.